Welcome and bienvenidos a todos to Our Football, a podcast about Mexican women's soccer. I am Eugene Rapinski, and as always with me tonight is my co-host Adriana Terrazas. Adriana, how are you?
I'm doing great, Eugene. It's been a while. Tons of stuff to talk about. Life kind of got in the way. But oh my God, we have so much stuff to talk about. How have you been?
I've been okay. I think that the Super Bowl consumed both of us in various ways. So it's good to be past that. And yeah, lots to talk about. I know normally we do this podcast and we jump right into Liga MX Femenil, and I don't even know if we're gonna get into too much of that tonight. I mean, they did have a kind of weird half week where six games were played instead of the usual slate of nine. Don't know why they do that. I kind of wish they wouldn't do that, but it's not up to me. The big news of the week, though, was the kickoff of the 2024 CONCACAF W Gold Cup. We are recording this on Wednesday night, so we have already had the first two games go by. Last night, we saw Mexico draw Argentina 0-0, and the United States beat the Dominican Republic 5-0. Where do we want to start with this? There was a lot to go over in that Argentina-Mexico game.
Oh my God. Okay. I guess we could start off with the call up.
Let's start at
Let's
the
start at the
let's start at the
beginning. Yeah.
very beginning. Because Mexico, which has historically, and I say historically in the context of, I don't know, the last couple of major tournaments that they've been in, has had some pretty big problems with regards to goal scoring. They haven't really been able to do much of that. And we got the roster, and the forwards were listed as Kiana Palacios, Jackie Ovalle, Jasmine Cáceres, Charlene Corral, Diana Ordóñez, and a late sub in was Mayra Pelayo. I think she came in for the injured Scarlett Camberos. Something that sticks out to me, at least right away, is that, last season's Liga MX Golden Boot winner, Mari Carmen Reyes, was nowhere to be found. Katy Martinez, nowhere to be found. Licha Cervantes was in there, but I believe she got injured.
Yeah, well, I mean, they asked Pedro Lopez, and he just mentioned that he was calling up players that just were more adequate for whatever he was looking for. And I mean, he also mentioned that that Licha knew she wasn't going to be called up. And after that, by the way, she scored six goals. Gamex Feminine.
Oops.
Yeah, it's like, oh, really? I mean, it probably wasn't the best way to start off Gold Cup W, just because it was like the elephant in the room. Everyone was aware that Licha and Kathy weren't called up, and it was just something that's too weird and kind of brings back flashbacks from the Monterrey World Cup qualifiers and all the struggles we had to actually score a goal, which we didn't. And it's I'm really struggling to understand that. I can understand you want certain players for a specific style. Maybe you like Ordóñez because she's way taller than some of the other players, and that gives you an advantage with some kind of play, that kind of thing. But I really can't understand not calling up either player, maybe just one of them for some particular reason, or just because you somehow saw something from the players that you did call up in those mini camps, and just, I don't know, something from you trust your instinct, you saw them on the field, that they're just better for whatever you want to put on the pitch. But both of the players, like, not having like neither Licha or Gatti, is just, oh my God, it's so weird.
It really is. And, you know, when I look at a roster, when a roster drops, I try and think of, okay, like, what is the formation that I see? You know, what is like the best formation that I see with this, right? And with the I mean, you can always pick out what you kind of think that is with a roster. And then you look at when it's actually put into practice. And, I'm looking at this going, okay, it looks like he could, Pedro Lopez could do like a large and small striker pairing up top with Ordóñez being the taller one. And then you would want somebody maybe like Corral or Palacios coming in, as kind of like the smaller option with Ovalle on the wing, Cáceres on the wing as well. Ovalle on the left, Cáceres on the right. They have Maria Sanchez as well. And that's not really what we saw in the game, at least to start off, right? We had Maria Sanchez on the right, which was not her favorite position, but she has played there before, especially with Ovalle on the left, because we know Ovalle is, pretty much solely a left-footed player. We had Stephanie Mayor playing in like a kind of like a false nine, like a deeper forward, and then we had Corral starting, I believe, up top. So the pairing never really materialized. Like Ordóñez came on later in the match, but by then like subs had been made. So it seems like the plan didn't materialize for some reason. And from what I saw, the lineup that was submitted against Argentina just it lacked a real like definitive purpose. Like you can look at a lineup and say, okay, here's what I expect these players to do. And you couldn't really get a good sense, especially like up and down the center of the pitch, what the players' roles were supposed to be. And I think that showed a lot. You saw a lot of players out of position, players just kind of meandering, wandering around. It was a lot of confusion. And I think that is part and parcel as to why Mexico wasn't able to put anything on the board. There was no structure to that.
And it brings back so many, like, again, World Cup qualifier vibes. I
Really
got the same
did.
feeling. It was just like, we have the most talented team possible. They were playing in Monterrey, which was just being like really home team, because you had so many players coming in from Tigres and Rayadas, and it just didn't work as a whole. And now we saw this really similar thing. It was just, except for Katia and Licha, who we still don't understand, and hopefully we won't miss too much, but it doesn't seem that way, at least up until the first game. And again, you're not seeing them understand each other. You're not seeing that kind of like harmony on the field, where you know who's behind you, who you're going to give the ball to. It just seemed as though individual talent and not as a team effort, you know?
It was, and I the first 20 minutes or so of the game, Mexico looked pretty decent, but I think everything changed when Bernal missed the penalty. And like missing a penalty sucks. There's no two ways around that. I feel bad for Bernal for doing that. But as a team, you have to rally around that. You have to go, you know what, that's okay. We don't need a penalty to score on them. We're just gonna go out and get one like we were going to. No problem. You have to be able to believe in that. And I didn't see that. I saw that's for me when everything started to kind of fall apart. Like I think you started to see a little you had a little bit of cohesion going up into that, and then after that everything just started to fray. And it's not fair to try and play armchair psychologist, but when you see these sorts of things happen, like it's natural for me as like somebody who's not there to go, is this psychological? Is this something where some of these players remember the failure of 2022 and are like, oh no, here we go again,
I mean, I would hate it if we started going into this like mental loophole of not being confident of what we can do on the field. And then again, we're also facing teams that had a World Cup when we sadly didn't, coming into like a continental tournament where was it six teams that went to Australia from the CONCACAF? I think it was six teams. Was it?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I'll check it in a bit. But yeah, So, I mean, first official tournament with that kind of level, and then adding some like mental issues or just adding some lack of confidence. Oh, that would be terrible. Just because we know the talent's there, that's the most frustrating thing of all, is we actually know these players definitely should be on the squad. They should be playing well together. I mean, again, we had many camps. We did have several call-ups for them to actually get to know each other and kind of break the ice and kind of understand what Beto wants from them. But I mean, yeah, it would be terrible if they started going down this hill where the confidence just isn't there. Despite knowing that, yeah, I mean, yeah, some of these teams did have a huge like milestone, understanding that they're going to go ahead. They went ahead and played a World Cup. But on the other hand, it's not as if that doesn't mean you can't beat anybody in the tournament anymore. I do think the league has allowed all these players to grow way more than we expected. I mean, everything points out to a position where you should be one of the tournament's top teams. But after yesterday's game with Argentina, it just, oh man, we're kind of doubting ourselves now.
And to be fair to Argentina, they played a good game. They played a game I think that was designed to really knock Mexico off of their balance, right? Argentina always plays Mexico very physically, right? We saw lots of late tackles, hard tackles, little extra pushes and shoves from both teams, right? But that's the kind of thing that Argentina always seems to do against Mexico. In part, I think, because they know it works. I think they realize that they can do these extra sorts of shoves and kicks and sorts of things, and Mexico will get rattled and focus more on doing that back instead of ignoring it and just continuing on with the game plan. Which is super unfortunate. I think Argentina did very well. They played kind of like a mid block that Mexico just had a devil of a time trying to break through. They didn't lie too far deep on the field and wait for Mexico to kind of come into their zone. They really kept it at like kind of a, like a central level, and Mexico, it couldn't really get through it. I think they tried hoofing the ball downfield a lot of times, but Argentina was ready for it. They were, they would drop the center backs back, who were able to just kind of hoover that up and turn it back around. And Mexico wasn't really able to do anything. They kept trying to play it through Ovalle down the wing, and it worked sometime. I mean, Ovalle is a heck of a player, but when you know that's really all that you're gonna do, it's pretty easy to stop. You can make shifts and adjustments so that there's not much that she can do when she has the ball out there. And that's really what Argentina did. And it didn't look like Mexico had much of an answer for that, which is just
Yeah, it was like lack of a
wild.
reaction. Yeah.
It's just wild that they wouldn't have thought about that they wouldn't have planned for that. I mean, you kind of know they've played Argentina how many times over the past couple of years? Like, this isn't a team that they haven't faced before. This is a team that they faced multiple times, had good results, but they should have known what to expect, and it just didn't seem like they had an answer. It didn't seem like they had thought about, well, what's going to happen when we try and play it to Ovalle down the left wing for the sixth, seventh time in a row, and they've made adjustments and they're ready for it. Like, what do we do then?
Yeah, agreed.
That's wild.
So for people wondering about the lineup, it was Barreras in goal, and then we had Greta Espinosa, Rebecca Bernal, who was captain and took that penalty shot that was sadly missed. And then Karen Luna, Karina Rodriguez, Alexia Delgado, Carla Nieto, Stephanie Mayor, Maria Sanchez, Cherlyn Corral, and Jackie Ovalle. So out of these players, would you repeat the lineup for the next game? Do you think that's like the way to go, or will you switch someone around?
I would not. I would switch something around because I don't think it worked, and I think that the next game is against the Dominican Republic, and we saw the way that they played against the United States, and I thought the Dominican Republic played a very good game. They were very, very compact defensively. They played a very low block. They let the U.S. kind of come at them, and had enough players behind the ball that it made it extremely difficult for the US to score. For me, I think the game really should have ended 3-0. I think the two penalties late in the game were super soft. But so credit to them, and I believe they're going to try and do kind of the same thing against Mexico. And if Mexico had a hard time getting through the Argentine defense, I don't see how they make it through the Dominican Republic defense if they play like they did against the US. Like they had an answer for everything.
Yeah, I agree. So
So
it would mostly, I mean, maybe we might keep like defense and Barreras and goal. So it's more like a midfield kind of like switching around players to get more opportunities, just be a little bit more creative on the field and just get the ball to all these strikers, right?
Yeah, I mean, all right. So if it's me, knowing what I know about the Dominican Republic, yeah, I don't think you change anything on defense. I mean, you can, I mean, if you don't want Bernal to be back there again, or you want to switch somebody out, like Chelly Torres came on, for instance, in the second half. For Kimberly Rodriguez, I think it was, or was it Karina Rodriguez?
I think it was Karina.
Okay. Yeah. So,
Yeah, it
and
was
I thought Chelly Torres had a really good game. So, if you want to do something like that, like th that's fine. I don't see any reason to change too much back there. I thought Barreras had a good game in goal. She was able to stop what came her way. I think the midfield is really where you have to kind of do the work, and you have to get the players to understand that they need to be responsible for their like position. Like they can't, there was so much just roaming, and this was a lot on the defense too. There was just so much roaming, players, midfielders like dropping way too far deep, center backs pushing way too far up. It was just kind of a mishmash, and it didn't make a whole lot of sense. And like, yeah, like to an extent, I get that, positions are fluid. It's a fluid game, and things are going to go around. But there has to be some sort of, for me at least, there has to be some sort of rigidity in that system. There has to be some sort of accountability to say, okay, well, hey, as a six, this is where you're supposed to be, and nobody was there. Therefore, you were out of position. So. I don't know. I think I would leave Sanchez and Ovalle at on the wings.
Yeah, definitely.
Because I like that you can, I know that Ovalle is primarily left-footed, but that makes her kind of cut inside when you put her out right. So it makes her more of an inside scoring threat. For that, like you need like for me, you need like a strong six. And I'm not sure we have that. Like I think that might be where our biggest problem lies, is that we just don't have a strong like defensive midfielder that can hang back and kind of wait for those balls and fill in those gaps for when the wingers push up. I think if you're gonna have Mayor as a false nine, and I'm all for giving her time, she certainly earned it with her play with Tigres this season. Then you need to have that sort of speed out wide, and you need to have somebody who can work in tandem with her up top. I think having Ordóñez would be okay. I think having somebody like Corral or Palacios with her, just it's not going to do it, because they're too similar in the style of play.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah,
So
so they'll kind of like overlap, right? Yeah.
I mean, it's just, for me, you want to create mismatches with the personnel that you have. You want to make it hard for center backs to defend them. And if you have two players who are the same and make the same kinds of runs, it makes it very easy. Whereas you can have somebody like Mayor, who is kind of crafty on the ball. You have Ordóñez, who likes to go up and kind of get physical. And it makes it very hard for the center backs to kind of know what's coming. Who's going to make that run? Who is it going to be? You know, Mayor, who's going to try a sh to rip a shot from distance, or maybe try and flick a pass out? Or is it going to be Ordóñez, who is coming in waiting for that ball that's going to pose an aerial problem, right?
Yeah.
So having that sort of dynamism up top, having ha making it difficult for the center backs to defend that is going to be key. You know, and then I think for the central midfield, like they just have to do a better job of like filling in those gaps. Like if especially with Mayor being somebody who's going to be pushing up, like you have to have somebody back who's going to fill in the gap when she goes up. Like who's going to take her spot when she joins the attack to go make something happen with Sanchez or the Valle or with Ordóñez, right?
Yeah.
Delgado's okay with that. Nieto is okay with that, but like I think there just needs to be more like cohesion for me.
I agree. I would leave Maria Sanchez and Ovalle. I think as wingers, I mean, they'll provide, right? It's just a matter of making sure that it somehow there's more creativity on the midfield and just making sure that they get the ball and start creating those opportunities. Yeah, maybe Ordóñez could come in. I agree. I'd like to see Naty Malleón for some reason. I think some creativity could be there as well. It's just a matter of knowing how she can play it with if it's also with Charlene, which I don't know if it could work, or maybe with Stephanie. I'm kind of thinking if we're not trusting too much on Stephanie, and that's really weird to say because she's such an amazing striker with her club, but we're seeing the same issue that we saw in Monterrey, and again we're kind of relying on her all the time. But I mean, we're only relying on her because we know that again the goals are there. She can outperform any striker in Liga MX Femenil as well. But it just seems as though when it comes to the national team, again it comes down again to what we were talking about lack of cohesion, lack of just like a unity, understanding each other as a team. So maybe it's risky, but I mean, hey, you got a draw against Argentina. I mean, there's not much more you can do than just try to switch things out a little bit. Maybe try to, like bring in someone else in the offense and try to see if you can create something there without depending too much on Stephanie. I don't know. Maybe it's a little bit crazy, but yeah, it's just too many like 2022 vibes.
No, I think you got to do something, right? I think, and that's what Pedro Lopez is there for, right? He's there to make these decisions. I think he's got to do something because getting a draw against the D Dominican Republic is simply not an option. If they're going to go through, they absolutely have to win this game, and then they have to get a result against the United States. I mean, obviously, it will depend on Argentina and the US, like how they do. The top two teams in the group will go through. The third place team possibly can go through it. The top two third place teams will advance to the knockout stage. So there's a chance. But for me, like they absolutely have to win against the Dominican Republic.
Yeah.
And that's going to be tough because the Dominican Republic, they played a tough game against the United States. That was not an easy game for the US. And like I said, I think, you know, it looked more to me like a 3-0 win than a 5-0 win. And yeah, I don't know that Mexico can put up that kind of performance against them. You know, I don't see them putting 5 against the Dominican Republic. I can see
No,
them beating them, but I don't know if they put up 5 like the US did. So
yeah, I agree.
that's for me, like that's just something that, you know, kind of underscores that point. Like they have to win that game. They have to win on the 23rd, because
Yeah.
going against the US needing to win is just not putting yourself in a position to succeed.
Yeah, no, that would be just chaotic and all the most terrible ways. Just under like I mean, yeah, understanding that we are facing, I mean, it's not as if we thought we would come into this tournament and be champions. It just would be unrealistic, understanding again how some of these teams are coming in from experience of having playing a World Cup. You're playing against the US, you're playing against Canada. So, but still, I mean, just I can't even imagine if we lost against the Dominican Republic. It would be chaotic and the most terrible ways, because it would just be repeating and not letting go of this cycle that we're trying to forget. And again, let's also remember that we had the U-17s play not too long ago as well. They qualified to the World Cup. They lost the final against the US here in Mexico. They played in Toluca in the Federation facilities. So again, it's like the young talent is there. You have some opportunities. You're looking into, I wouldn't say the league is reaching maturity, but it's definitely not like, it's not a newbie, you know. It's not their rookie year or anything like that. It is starting to reach a point where you can say that most of these players are benefiting from what's happening in the league as well. And most of those players being called up do come from the league. And again, we see good performances, regular performances, and there's no other reason they should be doing poorly. If we don't have a really good result in the second game, there's just it would be terrible, because there wouldn't be a natural reason to understand why that would be happening.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think not getting out of this group is really not an option. To be perfectly honest, there's especially when eight of the top nine teams in the three groups out of the three groups advance, right? They really have to, and I don't want to think about what happens if they don't. Because, like I having gone through 2022, I just get I'm getting those same vibes, and hopefully that's just kind of what am I trying to say? That's just kind of the
You
damage.
don't even want to think about it. It would just be like an indication that we never let go of that just terrible year and all the work. Like,
Exactly.
yeah, it would just be that this kept on going and we're not really out of the hole yet, right?
Like we have to be able to move past 2022, and part of that is kind of asserting ourselves as a force in CONCACAF. Like the talent is there, Oh man, I don't, I like I said, I don't want to think about it, them not making it through.
Yeah, great. Hopefully we'll see some changes. I'm pretty sure that Pedro Lopez might have some tricks up his sleeve, and just think about those changes and try to bring a bit more confidence into the team. If the unity is not there, the level is, the performances are there, maybe just not ideally, but depend on some individuality within the game and try to make it happen and just calm everything down and avoid any of us actually panicking at this point. So yeah, let's see what it's about. Let's see the second game. We still have some other games to look forward to, and yeah, let's just see. Hopefully they'll just shake it off, and this will just be some kind of anecdote, and we'll make it through at least the group stage.
I don't know. Like I keep saying, it's not an option. Failure for this is just simply not an option. Like they just have to find a way to beat the Dominican Republic and put themselves in as good a position as possible in order to either get second place or a high third place. I know that that's been a lot. I know we spent a lot of time on this, and I want to thank our listeners for hearing us kind of vent. I think it's been cathartic for both of us to kind of
Yeah, therapeutic. Yeah.
to talk about this. Anything else that you want to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, just follow along with the team. I think they're doing awesome things on social media. League is still there. They kept it going for a bit, and despite these weird weeks when we only have several, like a couple games, and not at like all the games that we thought for a jornada. So yeah, I think the conversation on social media will be really interesting, just depending on what happens in the second game. So just keep up with it as well.
I know our group chat was on fire. But thanks to everybody for listening. Thanks to everybody who keep up with the content. Hashtag Liga MX FEMENG, and for this week, hashtag LTRI FEMENG. Because at the end of the day, it is indeed our football. Thank you all so very much, and we'll see you soon.